Have you ever been a member of a trade union, Heather?
No, I haven't, although in my first job as a physiotherapist, I did come under quite a lot of pressure to join, but didn't.
Yeah, only what once I was picking cherries in between army gigs. Yeah, it's compulsory then, not a change in 1991. Anyway, that's not really the topic for today. The topic for today is talking about the New Zealand Labour Party, which of course clearly has roots with the trade union movement. I'm Simon Ewing-Jarvie.
And I'm Heather Roy.
So what are we going to cover on the Labour Party, Heather?
Right, we're looking at all the parties in alphabetical order, and today we're going to look at a very brief history of the Labour Party, where the party sits on the political spectrum, the key people in the Labour Party, and what you can expect to see from Labour in the election campaign, and if they win the election, what you can expect from the party if they are in government.
So what's the brief history of the Labour Party?
Well, the Labour Party was formed in 1916 out of various socialist parties and trade unions. So they go back a long way, and it would be fair to say that Labour has dominated New Zealand politics since the 1930s. So since then, we've had six periods of Labour government under 10 different Labour prime ministers. And amongst the most famous would be Michael Joseph Savage, I guess, and Peter Fraser, who largely established the welfare state.
And led through the Second World War.
That's right. The 1984 to 1919 Labour government was a very different sort of Labour Party. They were responsible for reducing the role of the state in the economy, and most un-Labour-like, they privatised state assets. And of course, Longy introduced New Zealand's nuclear free policy in that government. So one of the things that's often talked about is that Labour brings change, and the other big party, National, is more a party of the status quo.
Right. And if you listened to one of our earlier podcasts on the political spectrum, you would have heard us talking about Labour being on the socially liberal scale rather than conservatism.
Yep, that's right.
And but more on the state-run or socialist end of the economic scale in terms of how they see the economy should be run.
But they are a centrist party, and they sort of cross over that murky centre ground. And in fact, as we talked about then, Labour and National often vote the same way in Parliament, so sometimes they're not quite as different as they would like you to believe.
Yeah. People in New Zealand know Jacinda Ardern. She's on the TV every day. Who are some of the other key people?
Grant Robertson, so sort of her loyal lieutenant, if you like. He's the Minister of Finance. Chris Hipkins and Phil Twyford are also said to belong to her kitchen cabinet.
Right, that's the sort of the inner circle.
Yeah, it is.
Yep, and Megan Woods is a fairly high-profile character in this.
Well, she has been very recently too, and every government has a Mr. or a Ms. Fix-It, and she's well and truly the Michael Cullen or the Stephen Joyce of this current Labour Party.
Right.
She's brought in to fix the difficulties they're experiencing.
What about the list? Any other interesting characters in there?
Up until number 16, the list is just current MPs. The first non-current MP is a woman called Aisha Virrell, and some people might remember her from the start of the COVID pandemic issues, where she was brought in to look at why the contact tracing wasn't working effectively.
So what can we expect from the party in the election campaign? So far it's been, we're really busy running the COVID pandemic response, and is there going to be an election?
Yeah. Which is disingenuous.
Hubris is the word.
Yeah. Definitely. Yes, very much what the Prime Minister said in the Labour Party election launch just a week or so ago, that this is a COVID election. That's true, but we need to be looking well beyond COVID. And really, they seem to be campaigning on their crisis management skills.
Yeah, well, they've had a few to practice on with the mosque shooting in Christchurch and the
White Island
disaster and so on. But look, I'm reminded of Churchill, great wartime leader, lost to Attlee. The difference? He was campaigning on his ability to win the war, and Attlee was campaigning on a future and how to take Britain forward, and that was what engaged with people. So I think the Labour Party do have to be a little bit careful.
Oh, I think that's that. Just saying this is a COVID election and nothing else matters, we're too busy dealing with the current crisis to not provide New Zealand with a vision for the future, and certainly not to explain to voters how we're going to pay back the huge amounts of money that we have borrowed very recently. I think that that's not, firstly, it's not fair to do that, and secondly, it is disingenuous. Governing is not just about lurching from one crisis to the next, it is having a vision for the future. To be fair, Labour Party has put out on their website, which is www.labour.org.nz, on the website, if you go to the policies, they are all there lined up, but when you read through each of them, you'll see that there's nothing new there. Most of the anything that you could consider new really was announced at budget time, and so they are just campaigning on their old actions and their old policies.
The Labour campaign launch announced a scheme for $311 million, which was basically, if you take on a person or someone who you're going to lay off that is at risk of long-term unemployment, you can have up to $22,000. They're looking at an average of about 7,500, maximum 40,000 people on it. I don't know. Sounds very similar to the National Party's 2012 flexi-wage scheme to me.
Yes, just maybe a slightly enlarged one.
Yeah, more people eligible, right, and bigger payouts.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you go to their health policy, it says nothing other than what has happened with COVID. And that's despite a two-year-long working group looking at health reform. So they're not even campaigning on their own working group's
results of that, which is significant.
I think it is quite instructive sometimes looking at the policies that parties campaigned on at the last election, and if they're in government, seeing what they've managed to tick off.
Yep.
And so there's actually quite a long list of failed policies or reforms, really. So the very visible ones, Kiwi Build has largely been abandoned because it really just exacerbated middle class welfare, didn't help the vulnerable at all.
Meanwhile, homelessness is still an issue.
Yes, and child poverty. So the Prime Minister campaigned largely in 2017 on how she was going to tackle child poverty. I think there's as many children in poverty now as there was then.
Yep.
So another failure. Something to sort of help the Greens along the way was the Auckland Light Rail. But that's
been derailed.
That's been derailed, well and truly.
Yep.
After the mosque shootings, there was the gun buyback and the ammunition non-buyback.
Yeah, when you've got citizens taking into court to challenge your right to take property with that compensation, you have derailed yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. The oil and gas exploration ban has been a bit of an own goal, and certainly if National come into government, they've said that they will reverse that. The Provincial Growth Fund, that was put in place.
Synonymous with Shane Jones.
Yeah. That was the New Zealand First Accommodations. So he had $3 billion to scatter around the country. Got a very slow start, the famous tree planting.
Yeah, they're well short of their half a million, 100 million.
And lots of projects have had some sort of seed funding or a bit of follow-on funding, but really there was no coherence at all to that.
No, and so it's defeat in detail. $3 billion has just been frittered away in little bits and pieces here and there with no major impact. Imagine if you just put that into one or two key areas.
Yeah, that's
that amount of money. Her captain's call on capital gains tax fell flat.
And that was a big thing that she was going to put in place. Mm. But when the working group came back, she decided that it wasn't going to happen on her watch.
Mm.
And the other thing was cannabis reform. I distinctly remember from the 2017 election debates, Bill English and Jacinda Ardern were asked whether they supported cannabis reform and were given 30 seconds to explain why. Bill English did the 30 seconds for, but not very convincingly. But she quite decisively said, I don't need 30 seconds.
Yes,
cannabis reform should happen. And now she won't say whether she's going to vote in favour of it in the referendum. So who knows what's happened.
Yeah, there. So my summary of it is that Labour has actually done a pretty reasonable job of handling disasters. Nothing's perfect. They've done a pretty poor job of actually implementing most of what they set out to do in 2017, and that coalition governments sometimes create that result. And they now want to have another term of parliament, you know, based on their record with COVID.
Yeah, and what's missing from all of that is a plan for the future.
Mm.
And that's what I want to see from political parties. What is their vision for New Zealand going forward? What will we look like in 20 or 30 years? Mm. What are the building blocks that are necessary to get there? But we're seeing none of that from them this election.
Yeah, what do you think they will do if they're re-elected on whatever date the election ends up being now?
Yes.
If Labour's in charge on its own or in coalition, what can we expect?
Well, it's hard to say because they're not outlining a plan. I think that they would like to be there on their own. That's most unlikely. No government since the 1951 election has had the majority of the vote, so over 50%. Much more likely if they do get across the line that it will be with the Greens if they manage to get 5%.
Yep.
I think that they don't want to be in government with New Zealand First again. But in terms of a policy plan that they're going to roll out and enact, I don't think they have one. I think they're going to have to grapple with the huge debt they've put the country into as a result of COVID, and I think things will probably flow from there. But really, there is no plan.
The hens are going to come home to roost with small business failures and unemployment. I mean, yeah, the numbers say that the unemployment's basically the same, but it's not measuring underemployment, and it's not measuring the end of the wage subsidy, and it doesn't reflect misemployment, like when you've got an airline pilot driving a train in Auckland. Yeah, they're not unemployed, but...
That's right. I think we're in a period of with a very artificial environment propped up by very artificial means.
It's like and the phony war.
That's right. There's no reality to the situation we find ourselves in at the moment. So I don't think personally that we can take very much from those unemployment figures.
No, I agree. If you'd like to send us in some questions, you can go to the contacts page on our website, talkpoint.co.nz. It's TORQUE. We're also on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. I'm Simon Ewing-Jarvie.
And I'm Heather Roy. We'll talk to you soon.